Blog Talk Radio.
Two things are true about students in urban American public schools. There are some students who do well and go on in life to become productive citizens, while there is a secondary population of students who go on to live lives that aren't so socially acceptable. While this secondary population of students, some 18% in Nashville-Davidson County, exhibit a number of behavioral issues and face extradition, it's no wonder why those students struggle to succeed academically. If they can't follow the simple rules of order, how are they expected to be focused enough to learn? I'm Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I have recognized the needs of this population continually being unmet despite the best efforts of many dedicated educators over the years. As a result, my experience as a former special education teacher, youth counselor, and candidate for local and state offices, I've developed a school model to help address this troubled population. Dockery Christian Academy is a private, non-denominational Christian school whose primary focus is engaging parents as partners with educators and teachers in order to develop pro-social character for student learners. I'd love to share more information with you about this innovative education model. So please connect with me at www.dockeryacademy.org. That's D-O-C-K-E-R-Y, academy.org. Connect with us on Facebook at Dockery Christian Academy, or use the hashtag @2020DCA. Thank you. I look forward to engaging you. Together we can make a difference for all of our children.
You're much more than the struggles that you go through. You're not defined by your pain, so let it go. You're not a victim.
Well, welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight on this, September 28th. 2021. The month is gone. Get the good back. Get the good back. And here we come now to the 10th month of the year. 10th month of the year. And you know what that leaves us, don't you? We just got two more to go. And it'll all be over. It'll all be over. Time waits on no man. The writer Job tells us that time is appointed for man to die. And after that comes the judges. So we got to get ourselves together. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I got two good people on that I love dearly. My good brother out of Selma, Alabama, and my good sister out of Jacksonville, Florida. Guess what, you all? It's mic night. It's open mic night. So the floor is open to you. And I want to encourage you to join us. If y'all don't mind, give me about 2 minutes. I got a special message for you on this September 28th, 2018. I got a special message for you. If you don't mind, bear with me. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, and I just want to share with y'all something that is good, real good. Then we open up our phone lines, 657-380-944. That's the number to call. Right here, join us in live conversation, 657-383-0944. Brother Timothy Wright said it like this. This is yours. Yeah, listen to him for a second. Listen to what Brother Wright said. Listen to what Brother Wright said. Break it down, Brother Wright. But what? I know you're right about that. Yeah. What will he do for you? Explain it to me. You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Doctor. We're coming right into it. We open up the phone line, 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. Don have a guy to whisper. He may not come when you want him, but he'll always be right on time. Have a guy to witness, Don.
You got a witness on that, Mr. Doctor.
All right, now. Sometimes it get rough, don't it, Jacksonville, 37-2. It get rough sometimes, don't it? And sometimes we're not really sure if what it's going to be like tomorrow. But one thing we done found out, weeping may endure for a night. But early, I didn't come to preach. Then I felt my help right there. In the morning, we can find a little joy. Is that all right? Okay, listen. Just talk straight. 657-383-0944. Welcome, guys. It's open mic. What y'all want to talk about tonight?
Mr. Doctor, I got a good topic.
Come on.
I want to hear the topic that I want to talk about. You know what I just saw? A brother just sent me. Brother sent me a picture of the Prince of Kuwait, and he's dark as dark.
Okay.
And you made me mad.
Uh-oh. What happened, Don? What happened? Talk
Why would you give your oil away and let Queen Elizabeth put her name on your oil? Talk to me, sister.
Well,
why would you? I've seen it when I was driving truck. British Petroleum? Come on now. You in the United States. This is not Great Britain. So why would you let her put her name on your stuff?
Well,
my brother sent me the picture, and I showed it my wife a while ago, and I'm really teased. The brother is dark as dark.
Go ahead.
And I think the oil belonged to you.
Uh-oh. Well, she was trying to respond to you.
I don't think it belonged to George Bush.
Okay.
And then why you send your sons over to fight your people when the oil belonged to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Don, you put some stuff on the floor. Let her respond. Let's talk about that just for a second. It's open mic on Talk Street.
Your assessment is fair. But, again, one has to consider, like you said, why would he or why would whoever else? Sometimes people feel like they got to just sell theirself or the things that they have out. We were talking about trouble not lasting always.
Mm.
You know, who knows what kind of situation, you know, financially or whatever they could have been in, and it went from small to big to, like you said, now a name on trucks here. And it was his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Don, you know something you brought to light, big brother? And that is the crown prince was dark as you and me, huh? Or was he darker than us?
Shocked, Mr. Doctor. I thought maybe he'd be a light-skinned Negro, but he dark and dark, Mr. Doctor. They tend to be old villains. I'm looking.
Check it out, Don. That's the power of the media to portray whatever image that they want you to have of reality. So guess what you know, though? You know different. Geographically, where is Kuwait, Don? Geographically, where is it in the world?
Well, Kuwait and Saudi Arabia is right next to the continent of what they call Africa. What they call, because I'm learning some more about their terminology and words.
That's fair enough. What they call Africa, where there's rich soil, and the place that they call Africa, what is the hue of the people that come from there generally?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real dark. You're like down here in Selma, Alabama. You come to Dallas County. We the majority, but we got a good old boy, Cheryl. I don't get that either. You come down here five or six counties is us, but they ain't control charge the banks in there. I don't get that. And then while I go, Mr. Doctor, my wife's been playing games, so and she's a lot darker than I am. And she's talking about, you want to go to your dad's? Like, no, I'm mad right now. I need to go cool off. Because you don't play games with me 12 years down here in the black belt, which we could have changed. And you know what I'm finding out, Mr. Dockery? All your preachers right here are gay. So these sisters want me to go put some money to your sister. I ain't giving no money to your sisters no more.
Hold on,
Dad. I ain't going to put no collection money in your sister's plate no more.
The crown prince of Kuwait. That's
dog. That's what I'm saying, Mr. Dog. Coming to find out about this real day of Sabbath and what kind of games they really playing.
It's three of us on right now. Let's have a conversation about that. Just for a second, Don. How many people 30-72 do you, what you imagine, is aware that in Kuwait, despite what you see on TV now, that in Kuwait there are dogs, people that look like you and I? How many people do you think from the hood, from urban America, is aware of that, 3072?
Not many. I mean, I didn't just sit down and give it thought, but, yeah, now considering that, yeah, not many is aware of that.
You know, Don, in the text, it talks about how the Savior was on his way to go gossip, and somebody came to help him out and carry his cross. Say it was a dog man, Simon, Don, and he kind of like the way you're describing it. You're Simon of Syria. Are you with me, Don? And what we don't
yes,
see
sir.
A whole
and
lot.
I know what Syria is today. That's Libya. That's more oil. So you're making me even madder. So why are we giving our oil away and these Europeans are going over putting their name on our oil, and then we're sitting over here in the ghetto fighting over some trashy drugs, and somebody got your gas in their hand pumping your oil?
Wow. Don, I'm trying to go there with you, man. You open up this discussion. I'm trying to go there with you. You make a great point, sir, that while we're fighting, showing one another, being misguided and distracted, sir, the natural birthright that you have, you're far removed from the knowledge that it even exists. You with me, Don? Now, we've been talking about what we should be teaching young folks, how we should be preparing them. Why shouldn't we teach them to recognize their origin and the wealth that comes from their heritage, John? Why shouldn't we do that? Can you help me with that?
Mr. Doctor, I can't understand it. It's kind of painful because you even come down in, like you said, urban America, where we are, and you got all these teachers that are in Greek fraternities playing along with the game with the Catholic Church, and somebody just walking it off with your oil, your rubber, and your diamonds, and your gold, and you're just giving it away. But then when you come see each other, you roll your eyes, you ready to shoot each other, cuss each other out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Now, isn't that a matter of social conditioning, Don, orientation? Somebody.
That's what I see it as, Mr. Doctor. But then, Mr. Doctor, how long do you stay in that? See, you know, we was in physical slavery. Now we're in psychological, spiritual, and intellectual slavery is what I see.
That is a great question you're asking yet again, sir, and is related to the fact that you started this conversation about a dog man in Kuwait. A dog man in Kuwait, all places, look like some of these dog folk we see running the streets of in Nashville and Jacksonville and Chicago, Detroit and New York and Philadelphia. You understand what I'm saying, Don? St. Louis.
Yes,
some
sir.
Of the same folks. Yeah. So while we are running around in a rat race in the ghetto, and I say that with all due respect, I'm from, I can talk about it. When we're doing that, guess what we're not focused on? The great opportunities, not just in the United States of America, but if you open your eyes and you realize your birthright. Now, do you know, Don, that in the treaties of 1945, it was established after World War II that anybody who can identify a birthright to what's known as the Holy Land, which is now called Israel, they can go there and settle there? Did you know that, Don? I think you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this.
I knew that.
I doubt very seriously if very many of us would be interested in doing that. But guess what? That is a path back home. What you talk about in the teaching of Noble Drew Ali is recognizing that you have an ancestral right. And what does Black's Law Dictionary call it? Just solis and just sanguinis? Explain that to me, Dad. Yes, yes. Like I'm 3 years old. Explain it to me like I'm 3 years old. What's that
Jess, mean, though? One of them said, just, I think Jess Wallace, Jess Sanguinius, is talking about your blood right and your birthright to the land. And your blood right to the land.
See what I'm talking about? Now, we over here spilling our brother's blood in the ghettos of America when we have a blood right to land that flow with milk and honey. My God. Now, just imagine 72 if our young brothers and sisters understood you don't have to fight and compete with one another over crumbs. What about that 72?
It goes back to your theme about trouble not lasting always. How does it not last always? You have to have hope, faith, and knowledge on, things can and will change.
That's it.
But
that's
you're going to have to put something behind changing that.
Yeah, who's going to do that, 3072? Really, what? Let's talk about the motivation to thrive. Now, Don has really pulled the cover off of us to the point that it's clear that if anybody, not many of us collectively, are thinking like, we're not thinking outside of America, Don, in every thought. You pulled the cover off of something, brother. You done open up a stab, a wound. So 72, what? In addition to finding a way to not just survive, but to live here in America and to take advantage of what we have in America, ideas about where we start this type of teaching and orientation so that people can understand that your wealth go beyond just North American soil?
Yeah. Well, I think study, research, and being open to learning, I mean, it's the first step. But again, I think people tend to hold themselves back and keep themselves caged in when your thinking is limited and your acceptance is limited. And I think, like you were talking about, the social conditioning, that's the whole problem.
Okay. Don, despite all that, I still believe that there's hope, Don. Do you share that belief, Don? Don?
Mr. Dark, I've been in Selma 12 years, and I'm going to say something to you. It hurted my feelings when they brought Bush down here. And then it really hurt my feelings when LaRouche organization called me and told me Jesse and Obama was in the same circle with Bush. It's like, you know, come on now.
Can we control those things, though, Don, what they do?
We don't control them, but you know what I'm saying? You know, we got our own people helping us destroy our, you know what I'm saying, their own people. I don't understand that.
I get what you're saying.
I really don't understand that. And then really don't understand, it's not just our own people. Then it gets right in your own kinfolk in your own house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the one you eat across the table from trying to destroy you.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Now, that's some dysfunctionality for you right there, big brother. So I'll say this, though, Don. I'll say this. But despite all of that, what I want us to walk away from our discussion tonight here on Talk Straight is a path, Don, to individually starting to make things right for yourself. You know, individuals starting to make things right. If you can't control nobody else, at least what can I do to get me right? Does that make sense, 72? I mean, you know what I mean, Don?
I can't make
everybody else do right. I can't do it. But what can I do to keep me right? You know what I mean? See what I'm saying, Don?
Yeah.
Keep me right. And at least I will be around for the opportunity for my improvement. Maybe I can be a light to somebody else, you know, eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere they can be a light to me. Don, in a dark situation, man, what you got to do is look for whatever crack of light you can, man. I started by saying that it's September 28th. This time next year done, what do you envision type of yourself, people you've seen, you've interacted with? What are you seeing? What are you seeing? And then I'll come to you, Senator.
Well, Mr. Darker, I'm planning to do what you said, and I feel opposition from here in Selma and in Tennessee doing what you told me to do, go get my inheritance. I got opposition with my own family in Tennessee. Then I got opposition with my wife and down here with a bunch of news. And then, Mr. Dark, I had to worry about my son. I got people around here trying to destroy my son in his own family.
Okay. Well, okay.
I see that.
All right.
But I'm planning to do what you said do.
Well, I pray that works for you. I pray that works out for you. What about you, 72? This time next year, any projections? Do you see anything getting better, getting worse? What do you think?
I actually see it getting better. I mean, I've been through some of the worst, and I know things could always be worse. But no, I'm being optimistic, and I'm taking great steps and leaps and bounds. So yeah, this time next year, yeah, I can see things better for me.
Okay. And you say that the greatest responsibility for improving those conditions and circumstances lies within what you use today, the resources you have, you understand what I'm saying? Where you are today, that determines that. Would you agree with that?
Hey, Mr. Dockery,
oh,
I'm going to go off for about 10 minutes. I'm going to come right back.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree with that. Again, but, you know, sometimes that's tricky because unbelievable as it could be, sometimes people don't know what resources they even have around them. Could be staring them right in the face. But again, because of the mindset and the conditioning, you know, we tend to miss out. You spoke about land being free and people growing crops before and all other kind of things. Again, it's right there. But who knows?
Right.
That could help maybe cure or stop some homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Put people to some productive use, some work even. But again, how? They don't know it's there. They don't know.
You know, I one thing that I observe and put my pastor's head on now is that there's a legitimate fear on part, not just black people, African Americans, but it's a legitimate fear out there for many people to really take control of their life and to live it. Just in the span of not really a whole year, people have lost confidence in themselves to control their lives and make decisions, major decisions for themselves that will extend into the future. And seems to me that's a major thing that has to be retooled. And maybe I'm wrong. It's just open mic now. We're just talking now. Are you saying that? I know you work in the health profession, and you see people all the time and probably hear people's stories and, you know, all of the situations. Do you see that disparity at all when you interact with your patients and clientele?
I do. And I totally agree with you. A great example of that, and we're talking about people coming up and, you know, doing better, is look at the PPP loans that is one out. Now, okay, and I'm not condoning fraud or anything like that. But so if you was going to risk it and create a fake LLC, why would you go out again? And we putting some money in your hand now. Here's your chance to make things better for you. Why would you go out and just blow that? Like, maybe if you didn't have a business, you could have formed one, right?
That's true.
But yeah, you just want immediate gratification, and again, you left to your own vices is not good. So Yeah, I think people are afraid when you leave it up to them and make something better. Not everybody, but a majority, a vast majority. And yeah,
so
I see it every day, healing every day.
So it sounds like there's some dependency on some leadership or some figure to suggest to you or to constantly reinforce your day-to-day action, what you should do, or confirm that you're doing all right. You're kind of like children. They look to their parents, see? And when we become chronologically grown adults, we have to look to ourselves. But if we don't have the confidence in ourselves, who do we turn to? You know, and I'm hearing people say that they're not, you know, they don't necessarily need the preacher to establish a relationship with God anymore. So that's even challenged now. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of issues there. We're joined by our sister out of Peoria, and I want to welcome her back. And just let her know that we're still praying for you. We mentioned you on the last show there, Mama D. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there by the grace of God, and I thank you guys so very much.
Yes, ma'am. Pastor Wallace said a prayer for you. I know you weren't here, but I hope you heard it. And for the rest of your family.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
And him
absolutely.
Too. That's why I ain't forgot about you.
Well, he hasn't joined us just yet, but hopefully he will be able to tonight. It's open mic night, and we're just opening the floor to a general conversation. 3072 is on from Jacksonville. Don was with us earlier. And we've just been talking.
Hey, 81.
Right now. Sorry, Pastor.
And just you feel free to jump in when you get in. We were
just
kind of
listening. I miss hearing y'all, so I was hoping different ones would be on there.
Okay. Maybe I've seen to you. How about that?
That'll work.
When that works. We started out tonight with Reverend Timothy Wright, and he said that he's so glad that trouble don't last always, 3072 and 8112. And he said, you know, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Isn't that good news to know that even though we go through trouble, we have heartaches and pain, trouble don't last always.
No, it doesn't.
I think about the little bitty child who is afraid to go to bed at night when it's time to go to sleep. Came and ran back to the parents' room and said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I'm scared." Daddy said, "What you scared of?" He said, "I'm scared of the dog. I don't know if the monster will get me in the dog." He says, "Well, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid." And he said, "Well, I don't want to sleep in the dark." He said, "Well, this is what you should know, that when you go to sleep, you won't see the monster or anything else. And when you wake up in the morning, guess what? The darkness will be gone because it'll be morning. You'll see the sunlight." They said, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." That's good news, ain't it? Isn't that good news?
Mm-hmm.
I hope somebody gets something. I didn't come to preach tonight. Now said 8112. I didn't come to preach tonight. But if you fool with me, I might say a word. You understand what I'm saying?
I ain't got no problem with it. None.
3072 told me to stay professional and keep it on the up and up here. But if you keep fooling with me, you understand?
She's a good one.
No, but how I saw that the hospitals were pretty full there. Well, those were the reports anyway in Florida there, 72. I mean, 72.
Mm-hmm.
Is that getting any better?
Is that accurate. They are full. And unfortunately, things are about to take another turn, I think, for the worse as far as with the workers. You know, I'm hearing that they're going to start mandating the shots and people are not liking that. So, yeah, so some people may be walking off the job.
Yeah, that's true. I heard that, too. Yeah. It ain't just there, it's all over. And they're going to stop you if you can't prove you had your shot. In Illinois, what I saw today is they're going to stop people from going to the bars inside.
Wow. Is that right?
Wow. Yeah. So,
well,
as I said, it was scary for me this weekend, but I did what I always do and pray. Because, you know, when you got more than a certain amount of people and they come from different states and stuff, and cities, you just, what do? You can't turn them away showing their love, so.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Well, as you can.
Well,
yeah, some people don't want no mask on their face. They say they can't breathe with them. So
that's true.
My suggestion, wash your hands, stay outside, unless you got to go to the bathroom, most people do. So I left it alone because that was one of the first things, it was on my mind, trust me, I'm lying. But during the prayer, I said, to keep us all safe.
Sure. You know, that's an interesting thing. I did a funeral, I guess it was during the time last year, during the, you know, the restrictions and what have you. They were only allowing 25 people at that time, roughly. And that was a very sensitive thing. You know what I mean? But I'm see where many people are really more confused about what is real and what is not. I was going to mention that my wife, some of her nurses, are not liking the requirement either. And some of them have had COVID. And we've had COVID, so we have immunity already. So why do we need it? You know. And but you're right. There are reports that some cities or governors are going to try to replace workers with medics from the National Guard. To, you know. Yeah.
That part I did not hear.
I know it. That was reported in New York, and I want to say, I may be wrong, but I want to say Pennsylvania were talking about that, that if they couldn't get people were laid off, or to keep a walk up.
Yeah, to me, they're going to tell back with these people that have spent all their life going to school, working on the front line each and every day, taking high risks themselves with their families. Some has caught the COVID from doing their job. And now you want to make it mandated, and even after they, got the shots without the booster shot? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Well,
and, you
feel
know,
like, too, that they should have a right to choose, but while on the job, then you have to do whatever the requirements are. Now, if you're not willing to do that, then by all means, because that's not fair to other people that, you know, have their rights.
Here's the thing.
I just think it's a sad situation.
It is. Senator, but consider this. If when they were first hired, that's what 12 was saying, people been working for years, dedicated.
Yeah.
If when they were hired, that was a condition. You understand what I'm saying? This is all brand new to everybody, really. It's still brand new.
COVID is new, but there were conditions, as far as PPE goes, the surgeons and doctors they have to suit up. They have to work in masks. They have to do what they got to do to keep their patients safe. And I think that's the first and foremost thing when we're talking about hospitals and healthcare is protecting the patient.
That's true, but they did. A lot of them did get their shots. Now they want them to get a third one, so now it's making a whole lot of people, even in the medical field, question, what is really going on?
Right. So I was going to say, 72, that it's interesting how last year these people were held as heroes because they were on the front line. And how do you bring yourself to tell them now, in some kind of way, a bad guy? We don't want you. You're not welcome if you don't. You understand?
I don't think that's what they're trying to portray there, that they're not bad guys, but they're trying to uphold the medical rules and regulations.
I mean,
that just,
personally,
these rules and regulations just was essentially snatched out of the air. This is
okay, and so we're talking about trouble not lasting always and making different moves and different decisions.
Right.
So we have to be able to change with the times is all I'm saying. Now, I don't know all of about Moderna, Pfizer, J&J vaccines and what's all in them. And 10 years from now, if, you know, I had to make the best decision for me. You know, the people around me and my family, and that's all anybody can do. But with that being said, again, me not working for myself and not owning my own hospital or whatever, when I go to sign up to go to work, I have to comply by whatever rules they have. So whoever it works for, and whoever disagrees, that's to respect it, and that's it. But I think ultimately, it's a sad situation.
And you're right.
Let me recognize Don again, and we have St. Louis has gone as well. It's open mic.
Mr. Dockery, I'm glad you're on that topic. Guess what happened to me this week? I mean, yesterday. A sister that's darker than me, Mr. Dockery, said that she had a sister that caught COVID. Then she took the vaccine and died.
Oh, my.
Help me out with that. Help me out with that.
Don, I can't help you with it. I don't have the expertise to explain it, but what we're hearing anecdotally, at least anyway, are various responses from people taking it. One, I read one where one young lady took one vaccine and became paralyzed for a period of time. And so there are a whole lot of, you know, I don't know. You know, we think about the efficacy of certain vaccines that have been around for, 20, 40, 50 years. They've proven themselves. They've proven themselves.
Well,
They've proven themselves, you know, things for polio and so forth. They've proven themselves. And some people still have questions about the series of shots that children should get to go to public school. I get that, but these things are proof. This is brand new. So to just spoon feed this to people and as if they're supposed to just automatically accept it, it kind of raised the question. I'm coming to you, Senator. It raised the question to me, were they thinking about a lot of this before? Is this a trial? That's my brain, though. But go ahead, Senator. I'm sorry. I cut you off.
Well, I was going to say even those, mumps, measles, and rubella, polio, syphilis shots, high blood pressure medication even, the opioid problem. They haven't proven themselves. For some it works, and for some it don't. So,
When you say they haven't, you listed several.
They have not proven themselves for everyone is the point that I'm trying to make.
Okay.
So all anybody can do is make the best decision that they can for themselves, right, and not make this a political thing or whatever. Right. Again, if you feel that strong about vaccinations or whatever, then if you feel they're not for you, don't do them. But at the same time, understand that we live in a world that's ever-changing. And since COVID, I personally feel like the world has shifted. We are going to a whole new everything now.
Mm-hmm.
But with that, what are you going to do about it? What can I do? I personally cannot afford to just, I'm not doing nothing, and it's all about my rights and my freedom, and it should be. But in reality, if I don't do that, then I'm not able to work. I'm not able to maintain what I have. All anybody can do is make the best decision for them, but let's not be selfish with making a decision for yourself, because everyone is affected with our decision.
You're saying
not necessarily.
You said
not necessarily.
Well, hold on one second. I'm setting the question up for you. What I'm hearing you say is, if you said that I should make my own decision. And what I'm hearing you mm-hmm. say that I really should make my own decision because other people are affected by my decision. Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure. So what should it
yes,
be? Is
yes.
it my decision or is it someone else's decision?
It is your best educated, unselfish decision, honestly, is what I think it should be.
Okay.
Is what it should
okay.
be. Now, again,
be.
Some people may choose to go and rob and stick up banks for a living. That's their choice, their life,
no,
their decisions. They know, huh?
That's different from what we're talking about.
How is that different? We're talking about making choices and having rights.
Hold on. Well, let me explain.
Okay.
The difference is someone choosing to rob someone and someone's health-related choice about taking a prescribed medicine, vaccine, or something, that's totally different. Because you remember HIPAA rights? Everybody has HIPAA rights. It seems to be all of that is being erased, that's being set aside. If you want to tell somebody, they have to prove to you that they have made a medical choice or a prescribed or following a prescription. That's private.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Somebody robbed
well.
No, I still think that those things correlate. Again, same thing with parents choosing, I'm not going to educate my children. All they need to know is what I teach them and maybe the laws of the land. Okay, well, they still have to live in a world today, right?
True.
And if all they're
yes.
privy to is the law of the land and nothing else, then how will they make it? How will they be able to function? How will they be able to keep up and coexist with everybody else? That's I'm
okay.
just saying.
I hear what you're saying. Let me give the floor to someone else.
Sure.
And St. Louis, welcome. Don, I see you back. Any comments so far, St. Louis?
Yeah, vaccinated people are spreading the variants. The
what
Delta
do you mean
variant.
By that? All right, what do you mean
because
by that?
Because that's the way the body, that's the way the body works. The vaccinated people are spreading the variant because the vaccination is not natural. It's only tuned to one thing. It can't adapt. It can't adapt to something new that comes up. Viruses
okay.
will mutate, right?
Right, that's true.
All right, well, your immune system will mutate right with it and still attack it. But a vaccine can't do that. It's created.
Okay.
So when the virus mutates, then what you got a shot for does not work on the mutation.
Okay.
Now, your immune system, if it was working the way it was supposed to, it would stand the reason. Why come humans are still living after being around for so long?
Yeah. Okay.
If that's the case, the first virus would have wiped out all humankind. You ever watched Star Trek?
I have, yes. Used to anyway.
You ever
used
see
anyway.
The one group on there called the Borg?
Okay, all right. You're a Trekkie, huh? I see you're a Trekkie.
No,
Go
I'm
ahead.
Just talking, trying to relate to you something that you may have seen
okay.
and didn't know what you was looking at.
Right,
so when the Borg, when they use their weapons on the Borg, initially it kills them. You can have
okay.
two Borgs standing together.
Mm-hmm.
You can use your weapon on one, it'll kill them. The setting.
Okay.
If you use that same weapon setting on the next one, it's not going to kill him because he has adapted to it. Then he would come kill you. Well,
okay.
that's the same
okay.
way viruses work.
Okay. So, all right, if I might. So I, for a long time, I was one of those who were were not crazy about the flu shot, right? And my wife is a health provider. She, you know, talked to me about the benefits of it, as well as my my doctor. And I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll research it. And in my personal research and study and looking at it, I was able to look over a period of years, 8112, at how many people over, we're talking about over 30 years or better now, how many people actually took it and given certain conditions and certain environmental factors, how many of them did it help overcome that flu or the various strands of flu? And it proved that, and this is what I was talking about 72 when I said they proved the efficacy of many of these other vaccines over the years.
Efficacy, hang on for a second. Efficacy only occurs in trials. Efficiency occurs in the real world. So I think you're using the word in the wrong perspective. Go ahead.
I use efficacy for a reason, but let me explain what I'm trying to say here to you. And what I was able to look at is how individuals who have been in trial and those who have not been in trial, the efficacy of the various vaccines and medicines that were used for those that were actually in trials compared to those that were not in trial and how they were able. What I found is that it is the natural, what's called herd immunity, that really made the difference from those who were literally taking certain vaccines and those who helped build up a natural herd immunity. When children go to school, if you homeschool your children, one of the downsides is that they're not exposed to some of the common viruses that children in the age group are. So if they go to the playground or if they see them in McDonald's or someplace like that and interact with them, because their immune system has not built up that same strength of immunity, they tend to get sick a lot quicker. Those types of things, that's what I'm saying. I wish we would hear more from the CDC and from the FDC about herd immunity. How many people?
Well, it ain't the FCC. FCC is Federal Communication Commission.
FDA. I'm sorry. I'm talking about the FDA. Those people that approve these different medications is what I'm trying to say. If we had more on, if we looked at, I know it's a short period of time, really, guys. But I'm just saying that if we had more of that to compare to those people that are taking the current vaccines and what have you, people could make 72 a much better informed decision about what works best for me. Does that make sense, 72? That's where I was trying to go. Does that make sense, though, in terms of being able to compare a number of things and not just be forced to look at one thing?
Sure, what you said makes sense, but you got to start even somewhere with that.
Okay. All right. Dom, I didn't give you a chance, sir, to weigh in. That you want to let me open the floor to you, and then we'll get before you do that, Dom. You listen to Talk Straight. This is open mic, so pretty much if you have another thread of conversation you'd like to introduce, do so. 657-383-0944. That's the number to call. We go right back to the phone line to Brother Dunn out of Selma, Alabama. All right, Dunn, you got the floor, sir.
Yeah, I'm glad St. Louis. St. Louis, I had put on the floor earlier that a brother from one of my brothers from the Moore Science sent me a picture of the Prince of Kuwait, and he's darker than me and Mr. Dockery. So when I saw the picture, I got kind of he kind of bothered me because.
Happened to
you know, the ones that are over here, they playing games. Matter of fact, I'm working with a brother from Yemen here at Raceway, and he always liked to play Europeans against us. And I got a problem with that. I got a problem with George Bush and his type because they come with that game the British play. You know, Kuwait and Yemen was states that were started out of Saudi Arabia. So that's the game that Mo come over and try to play with us. With our European brother over here. So I don't – and then I'm going
to
say this.
What,
Yemen
what
got
happened
its
to
independence
your
in 1963 and I was born in 59.
Okay.
What happened to your
okay.
friend?
Huh?
What happened to your friend? The one that's darker than you.
No, he said
the one. You talking about the one in Kuwait? You know, he's my brother.
No,
he's
no,
not my
you
friend.
Said somebody...
But I'm saying, why are you letting Bush and them play games? I'm going to ask you and Jesse and Obama and them, why do you bring a peck of wood from Texas to play games? I don't need no peck of
wood
from Texas.
Yeah, but then you said some friend got a shot and got sick, did you?
No, I said yesterday I was over there working around Costafson's place, and there was a sister around the corner that's darker than me. She said her friend caught COVID, then went and took the shot and died. See, that's another game. See, that's Wall Street and the pharmaceutical company. I ain't got time to play games with Europeans. I don't play games
all
like
right,
that.
Well,
see,
was
that's
her friend...
I never did. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. That's the reason I never hung around my dad too much, because he always go around Negro, black, and colors that are homosexuals, talk proper. I just didn't hang around them.
All right. I'm going to
be honest with you, St. Louis. Reverend Bevel would go get the Jesse, the sissy. The Jesse right. Yehuda, the sissy. And I'm his oldest son. I seen they were sissies. I said, I ain't going over there.
All right. Well, Don, they not going to bother you now. They're not gonna trust you. They ain't gonna bother you no more. You ain't gotta worry.
I ain't gonna bother them. Go hang around Sissy. I'm St. Louis to know that.
Let's leave that right there.
Ruben, do you know anybody who took the shots and got sick?
And so you tell everybody in Washington D.C. You get all come in our neighborhood and pick all the sissies you want. Don Bevel won't be around.
All right, Don, we got that. We're not gonna occupy.
You can tell his wife and his children. I ain't gonna hang around.
We get it. St. Louis, I don't personally know anyone, but I have heard of individuals. I've read reports and preliminary reports of individuals.
Do anybody on here know of anyone personally who took the shots and got sick and seriously ill? I talked to a guy yesterday I know, Cleo Willis, Reverend Cleo Willis, and he took the shot and got a stroke.
Yeah,
speech impairment. Now, this is what I asked you, Ruben. Those that you heard of got the shots and got seriously ill, did they sue the manufacturer?
Here's the thing. It is my understanding that the manufacturer has some indemnity or immunity such that they can't be sued.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that there's businesses, employers, that's saying if you don't take the shot, you can't work. But if they take the shot and get seriously ill, they can't sue for product liability.
That
right there should tell you something.
Well, I hear what you're saying, St. Louis. I do hear what you're saying.
If you buy a car and the brakes stop working while you going down the highway, that's a product liability suit. If you plug your toaster in and a fire starts, that's a product liability lawsuit.
Right. Those are tort issues.
If you go to the store and buy some ice cream and you have glass in the ice cream, or if you have a mouse in a Coca-Cola bottle, that's a product liability lawsuit. So you're telling me that people that take these vaccines, and if they get sick, harm, cripple, or die, there's no liability? That should tell you something.
Well, what I understand is that because they're working on behalf of the government, that they have these protections, basically. And that's why it's necessary for them to be approved by the FDA, I think that's right, and other agencies like that, because they're giving them to people. Now, here's what normally happens.
Hang on there for one quick second.
They don't have to be
approved by FDA for you to be able to claim a product liability lawsuit on.
No, that's
cars ain't brakes.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that there is a process by which there is an approval for human use and consumption. That's what I'm trying to say to you. And what I'm
I'm saying is this. Hang on for a second, Ruben, because she's skipping. Even if it don't have to be approved, anytime a company put a product on the market and consumers use it and they are injured, they stand accused for a lawsuit.
I hear you.
Anything. It could be a pair of underwear.
I hear what you're saying, but what you're not hearing me say is the difference in the case of these pharmaceutical companies that are producing these products on behalf of the government. It provides them certain indemnity or protection against lawsuits. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
The government, all of Congress is not vaccinated.
Is it right? I don't think that's right that they can't be sued, but that's the way it is. That's the world we live in today.
It's the way they got it set up, but should it not query the minds of people, just like these hospital workers who say, we're not going to take no shots. Now, here you got companies that's making them take shots, and there's no recourse in case somebody gets hurt. I, as an employer, if I have a worker do something and that worker gets hurt, that worker can sue against my liability coverage and also work comp.
I fully understand what you're talking about.
So these people that's refusing is in their rights to do so, just on that. But more importantly, is because they have certain liberties that the U.S. Constitution protects, and they are totally being ignored. And here's another one. You a preacher. You the mouth of God. They don't even recognize religious exemptions. According to the Bible, God resides in you. You are the temple of God. So if you don't want to contaminate the temple of God, that's your prerogative. And according to the Constitution, which applies to government, where they are not supposed to favor or respect any religion, the same should apply to an employer too. If you don't want to put something in the temple of God, your body, that's your business. They have to respect that.
I got you, St. Louis. I got you. Let me just correct one thing. As a prognosticator of the gospel, I am a messenger of the word. I'm not the mouth of God. I'm a messenger.
Okay.
I want to make distinction between that. But
talking about flu shots and all that other stuff. You know, I don't have took not one in all my life. Now, those that want to is perfectly fine. I'm not making you to do so. And just like those that want to shouldn't be wanting to make those who don't want to do so.
I recently taking the pneumonia shot. Now, I'll tell you why. One of the primary reasons is because in my role as a pastor and as a business owner, I interact with people directly on a daily basis. And I understand how easy it is for germs and viruses to be shared and transmitted. Before COVID, you would go to restaurants. I would anyway. And I see people at the smorgasbord, at the food bar, and you saw them in the bathroom, they just put a lip of water on their hands. You understand what I'm saying? Got your hands all over everything. It just, my point is that it is real that there is a reason to be concerned about health safety practice. Restaurants and businesses are required when they serve food. Most health departments require them to follow certain procedures to try to minimize that, you know. But I said that to say that, personally, I can see the need for certain vaccines, particularly for the flu shot and the pneumonia shot and things of that nature.
Reiterate that I'm not trying to take away anybody's liberty, freedoms, or right to choose whatever. What I am saying, though, is because we live in America and because you don't own Saudi Arabia or the oil fields or whatever else, and you're not financially whatever you, you know, you need to make informed, well decisions for you, what's going to be best, and consider other people while you're doing that. So if you don't want shots and all that, and that, if that's what the government or who else requires, don't do it by all means, but be willing to stand on your own 2 feet at the end of the day.
Well, that's true.
Don't get your compound.
You talk about today's with world travel, people are pretty much acclimating with the diseases and it, that other people around the world suffer from. And that's why your immune system, you know, where you go to the library, you got books on the shelf that's pertaining to everything.
Okay.
You know where your library is in your body that pertains to everything that your DNA that you possess, which could some come from every place. You know where that's contained?
Tell us.
That's contained in your bone marrow. You know how you be eating chicken, you get down to the bone, you crack the bone, get that stuff that's in there out? That's bone marrow.
Okay.
And that's where your history of your contact with pathogens throughout your DNA, which is not just what was produced during your lifetime, is that which has been associated all through the contact of the first person. That's your furthest ancestor.
Okay.
When they was running from dinosaurs, that's been passed down.
Well, let me ask.
And that's why the human body is the best vaccine. I don't know why come they don't teach kids that no more in schools.
Well, that's interesting. 8112. I saw where there were a lot of, and I have a young man that work in my office with me as well. There's a certain generation who are very skeptical, 8112, about a lot of things, particularly those things related to government involvement and health mandates and things of that nature. And I just wonder if there's an opportunity, 12, for us to really properly inform them so that as they move forward, they can make healthy decisions moving forward. Do you think there's a need for that now, especially since we've had everybody to be shutting in and, you know what I'm saying, and the mandates and things of that nature? Do you think there's a need for that?
Yes, I do. However, there is what's out there, like you said.
Yeah.
And if they're a certain age, you can't make them do it.
That's
and if
right.
they choose not to, who's to say they're a bad person because they chose not to do this?
Okay. Well, and so 12, that's what I'm saying. The greater discussion about certain liberties that are promised in the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution for citizens. Now, what they'll do is they'll just fight naturally. Either fight or flight, that instinct kicks in because there's a lack of understanding. And I, my own children, I'm glad that they see the need for at least being informed and making good, healthy practice and decisions and things of that nature. But then at some point you have to ask yourself, when is this my will that is going to be manifest here and not someone else's demand on me? You understand what
well,
I mean?
But I think, Reverend Dockery, and nobody's a bad person for choosing anything, again, because I'm a firm believer all anybody could do is the best that they know how, even if their best is not the most wisest or informed, like you just said, decision. I just wonder, though, how people want to stand by and hold the liberties, and we're just, again, on the vaccine. Whoever take it. Don't. Whatever. But, you're questionable about that, but you can chew edibles. You can smoke cigarettes. You can drink alcohol. You can pop pills. You can go to parties where there's 75 or 100 people there.
Yes,
you can take your mask off. You're not, do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm starting to question if whether this is a power or egotistical or nobody tells me what to do things, rather than trying to think things out for the greater scheme of things, the bigger picture, not just for you, but for humanity as well. And nobody's bad or anything. I'm just saying. You can have unprotected sex. You could do all those things, and you're not, you know. So I'm just saying.
And that's
no,
that's
a great point.
But it still goes back to what you relate to earlier.
And you don't have any faith in medicine and the pharmaceutical, but when you get sick, you run to the hospital.
But I'm not going to say that because I try not to, but at some time, at a certain point, you might have to. I'm not down in any medical facility. What I
yeah,
am,
but nobody has to. You can stay home and try to treat yourself and live or die.
Oh, hold on,
it's your choice. Again.
But he didn't ask me another question. He didn't ask me that. And I know you work in a medical position, and you're on front line every day. I got that.
Right.
I'm not choosing nothing. Nobody chooses to do down. He asked me about the young people. A lot of young people do things, and they don't think about nothing but what the heck they want to do at the moment.
That's just a fact,
and I don't care who kids they is. Some of them reconsider it, and that's a good thing. But there's a lot of them. Now they say it's the 20 and something up. First they said it was the people with medical illnesses already. Then they said it spread to some little kid. It is what it is. This thing is about, and it's out here, and it's very real.
Okay.
And everybody will say what they want to say. I call it genocide because it didn't just fall the hell out the sky.
It is what it is.
Well,
it is,
the survival rate, the survival rate, recovery rate for those.
I've listened to all this on the news. I've seen it. I've watched it. I cannot let it consume my life to the point that I'm not careful, however, that I start living in this bubble that somebody else has created.
Well,
anybody
gets
God is still in charge, and that's all I got to say about it. I'm done with the COVID thing on that note.
Well, 8-1-12, and that's what I was going to say. It, guess what? When it's time for you to go, you're going. I don't care about what.
Yes, ma'am.
It don't matter about what.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, 1 second.
Yeah, a lot of people that died, they didn't have no COVID.
That's right.
True.
And some
people
died. They COVID on what they died from. They ain't
telling
the truth. They not doing autopsies about what really killed them. They just putting
the what y'all doing? I'm whooping old Sam's ass in front of y'all. I remember Bev was old. So I'm gonna let y'all know that. You know why? She wasn't here in 65. Y'all know that.
Done.
I'm getting that ass.
Okay. Done.
Hold on.
Okay. Hold on
maybe
I'm getting
St. Louis. Go ahead. What were you going to say, St. Louis?
No, what I was going to say that for those who come down with this virus, just like the flu, the percentage of those who recover is in the 99 percentile.
That's my understanding.
99% of those that come down with the virus, 99% of them recover, no problems whatsoever.
That's my understanding, which causes me to wonder why aren't we talking about, again, those factors in herd immunity.
I tell you, Frank, yes, he turned his back on King and going to be with me. Y'all know what's going on.
Oh, done?
Yeah. Oh, we here in Selma. Look, Miss Doc, we got a wash here that majority of us come to. And guess what? These folk in Selma know who Rose Sanders and Jesse is. So the ball game is up, Mr. Doctor. And all these old redneck police right here protecting these damn house niggas. It's sad, man. That's sad. I've been here 12 years. It is sad.
Hey, brother.
That's sad. Can't be recorded in his mouth, Mr. Doctor. They better keep a call, because guess what? The real Don Bevel finna show up. The real Don Tyler finna show up.
All right. Hold on 1 second. We were still talking about...
That's even in Tennessee. If I come home, sitting them star, Dixon County police going to tear the whole ridge up. I'm going to be whooping ass. Here on out.
Okay, hold on, Don.
Sorry.
Hey, Don.
I'm sorry, Mr. Don. It's sad.
All right, stay right there, Don. I need to come back.
Oh, house niggas running around here getting brand new cars and houses.
I need to come back to you in just a second, Don. Just stay right there for a second. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's wrap that up. Give Don a minute to kind of settle down there a little bit there. He's a little fired up about that discussion.
Did he take the vaccinations?
I don't know. It ain't none of my business. It ain't none of my business, St. Louis.
There you go.
I don't even know. I ain't gonna ask him either. But so this is I think it's a relevant thing, and I asked about the young people as well, because at the end of the day, in the next 5 to 10 years, guess what's going to happen? I think they're going to shape a lot of response and social policies and things of that nature that come down the pipe based on their response. I like what 72 said. There were risky behaviors that young and old people were engaging in unconsciously. They weren't even thinking about it, you know? And nobody shamed them. If you're overweight, you're obese, nobody shamed you or made you feel like you were causing other people to possibly get sick, or that you were some kind of a pariah in society. It happens, though. There are people who have various addictions and what have you. You don't shame them. You don't isolate them. You don't tag them and put a label on them. That's just not appropriate. But what has happened
Well, they
is,
are in some ways, though.
What do you mean?
Because if you are engaged, if you are doing certain drugs, you are isolating from certain professions in particular and areas.
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I understand that. I get that. You have drug test jobs because of their liability insurance and things that may require them to make sure that those people are not impaired. I get all that. I get what you're saying. But I'm saying in general, if you see somebody standing on the street smoking a cigarette,
now,
you don't come up and basically disregard or disrespect them. That's out of order. Even though you don't.
What happens if you have a commercial airline pilot that's flying and who had the shots the day before, and all of a sudden his arms lock up?
I don't know what you do, Stane, but I hope he's not navigating the plane when his arms lock up.
Well, yeah, he would be. He would be.
Well, that wouldn't be
a train conductor who had the shot, then they become incapacitated due to the vaccine.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good if that happened, but we don't know that. I'm not aware of that being the case, and I hope it don't ever while I'm on it.
Well, they do. It has happened. You know, I'm a pilot too. I'm not current, but
okay.
There's things that if you are known to do, you can lose your certification. But there have been times when pilots have had strokes, especially in general aviation, where he's the only person strokes, or he died. His wife was next to him. She had to try to land the plane. Many times that didn't work out too well. So I'm just saying, what's going to happen when something like that happens and it's said that, well, he just took the shot the other day?
It's probably going to take us more years, St. Louis, to have recorded cases of things like that to really be able to make any kind of informed thought about that, because you just don't have enough of those. You understand what I'm saying? Now, there have been many people who are driving who take certain medications and they have medical complications behind the wheel. They crash and many have died. There are many cases like that are documented from the hospital, from highway patrol, and things of that nature. So that's a reason why now doctors are able to tell people that you have limited driving capacity or you expect their driving from people with Alzheimer's, other mental.
Or somebody that have a diabetic fit.
Yes, that's correct. And so, but we hadn't got there yet with this particular issue of COVID. That's what I'm trying to say. My whole point, guys, is I believe it's a major concern. It's something we all should responsibly look to and take precautions for appropriately. However, there's still too much we don't know for anybody to say that there's some science that backs a particular position on anything.
In the medical profession, and some of these people have been there a very long time, and some of them have been there long enough to know what they see because they see it every day, that I don't think I want to comment on certain things because I don't want to comment on it. Anybody speaking to me about it that is not placed in that position to give out their opinion on what's going on with it if they don't know themselves and they're not seeing it firsthand. Looking at something, hearing something come out of somebody's mouth is two doggone different things. And knowing somebody that's knowing what they're talking about is another thing. Even though you don't have to trust that, and you may have your own personal reasons for that.
But I'd rather trust
what they're saying than somebody just talking and not in that profession.
How about Reuben, the Surgeon General for Florida? Hold on one second. There's a difference in giving advice and offering an opinion on things. If you're giving advice, you should have some expertise in what you advise the people on.
That's true.
If you're giving your opinion, that's like everybody got a mouth. What were we asking?
I said Florida just appointed a Surgeon General who has impeccable credentials. Joe Lopato. Nigerian born, and he's a Harvard grad in medical. He graduated from Harvard and even Yale in medicine. He says in a press conference, as the governor was introducing him, that he is against mandates. This is a Surgeon General for the whole entire state of Florida, coming from California. And he has his opinion on masks. He's against mandates, has his opinion on masks. So that's the Surgeon General for that state, and that's the direction, that's the advice, that's going to be the policy of not mandating in the state of Florida.
Yeah, and that was the point that I was trying to make, that one person cannot mandate or support something for everyone. Same thing with all the medicines and the restrictions and things that were just mentioned about epilepsy, diabetes, medicine, high blood pressure medicine. There's been people that died off of that because they swole up. Their esophagus swole. So you don't know until you try, and all anybody can do is say yes or no to see if this is going to work for them.
With that being said,
all anybody can do is try to make the best decision for them and keep it going from there so research can grow.
And decisions have been made by people. But now you got employers that's firing them if they're not according to what they want. That's what the problem is.
I don't have nothing to do with that because I'm not the employer.
So I agree.
Listen for a second. I got a new caller, and we got about 10 minutes. I want to give the caller an opportunity to weigh in. If y'all will, bear with me just for a second. 323-6606. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. I apologize ahead of time. Okay. We have a limited time. Our show will end in just about 10
minutes. Not a problem. If you want to unhook those two, I know Pianki. I don't know the hostess, but I'm going to disagree with them. So if you want to unhook them, unmute them so that they can respond, it's okay with me.
Go ahead. End your point.
All right. Pianki always makes the point, because he and I always go to the same shows, and he's an internet buddy of mine, is that the people have the power. People don't have the power. And the hostess said that I'm the host.
There's no hostess. I'm the host. Talk to me. I'm the host.
Right.
And we'll enter them into the conversation. Go ahead.
Okay. And the hostess had said that nobody can mandate anything. Well, the government can do any goddamn thing it wants, okay? It doesn't care about the Constitution, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats. That's been shown for years. They will just change the laws. And before the laws get refuted by the Supreme Court, the cops will enforce the laws. So the government can do anything it wants. Okay, so that's the point I wanted to make. So if you want to bring them back, they can dispute what I have to say. It's fine.
No, hold on one second. Let me run it. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I would agree with you that I believe that what's going to happen, a lot of legal challenges will make them their way to the Supreme Court in the next few years or so based on some of these mandates. But according to the U.S. Constitution, the government does not control people, but people control the government. We have a republic form of government in the United States of, for, and by the people. Unfortunately, over 85% of the electorate across America is still informed about their constitutional rights and how to exercise them. So politicians, people like that, have a tendency to run game on them and do whatever they want to them. When they wake up to that fact, they can change a lot of that. But I appreciate you sharing that with us here. And what we're going to do is, in these last about 8 minutes, we'll go around. We'll hear a final word from everybody, and we'll wrap our show up that way. If you guys can, try to be a little brief so everybody get a chance to finish there. Thank you, caller 6606, for sharing that with us.
Right.
Let's start with you, 8112. Okay, can you hear me, 8112? All right,
yes.
Let's go with you, 72. Okay, you there?
Hear you.
Okay. You may have muted your phone. If you will, give us a final thought right quick as well. And then
I will. I want to thank you guys personally for your prayers and thoughts.
Absolutely.
However, I also want to take the time for a brief moment to say we're in turmoil right now. And I got that part. And I hope and pray that we all be okay through this storm.
And that's all I got to say. Thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us, and we're still praying for you and your family and your time of bereavement there. Thanks again for joining us tonight. Okay. All right. 72, go ahead. Go ahead, 72.
8112, I am still continuing to pray for you and your family during your time of bereavement. And I say great topic. Great discussion, and again, you know, just try to make the best decision for you. Think about others, too, while you're thinking about yourself.
All right. Okay. Well, St. Louis, a final thought there from you, sir?
Well, I've got to go someplace and discuss this Haitian fiasco that we just witnessed.
Well, that's a whole nother issue, ain't it? All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Well, we appreciate you joining us tonight, sir. And let me go straight to 6606. Thank you, 6606. I apologize for our time being short. I would love to have
not
a
problem.
More, but you know,
not a problem.
Kind of. But go
that
ahead.
Was, that's not your fault. Yeah, that's not your fault. I called in late. I called in because I heard Pianchi's voice. He and I always have interesting discussions. So I don't have anything. No,
all
he
right.
and I always, most of the time, are on the same page. But the thing is that I don't have anything else to say than what I did say. People supposedly have the power, but the Constitution is a parchment.
Yeah.
And unless we know what to do, and that almost always will require firearms and fighting back against the government physically in order to get something done. Okay?
Thank you. All
that's
right.
the way it's always
well,
been done. With, that's a, okay.
Yeah. Feel free to join us there. We're 7 to 9 typically on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We appreciate you joining us tonight. Here.
Glad to be here.
All right. All right, sir. Don, give me a final word, big brother.
You know, I'm counting right now real skeptical of the United States of America and the games that they play with our people. I'm in Selma, and where I'm working at is over at Christopherson Place that owned a cotton gin. And his family, like, held their resources back. And there's no historical markers on Franklin Street at all in Selma. And it's kind of strange, you know, at Benjamin Turner House, there's no plaque. Alabama Pennies and Savings Bank is empty. And it's strange. And like I said, those clowns that we got as leaders right now, and they came down here to Selma, they need to stay away. The Obamas and Jesses, they weren't here in 65. They need to stay away. All they did was economically enhance these major banks here. And there was PNC, Wells Fargo, and Region Bank. The people were left with nothing.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm going to be praying with folk. You know, that's all I'm going to say.
All right. Well, we appreciate you, sir. We appreciate you. Hope you can join us on our next episode there. All right, guys. With that, we're going to wrap up our discussion tonight because time kind of got away from us. We'll be back Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, here for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Backley. Grateful for everyone who's joined us. And what we try to do is have wholesome, respectful conversation and dialogue. And I certainly learned that way. I believe others can learn as well. But until then, we'll see you on Thursday night for our next episode, 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time. That's when we will be here for another episode, and we hope that you can join us then. Brother Timothy Wright is going to take us home. Trouble don't last always. All right, come on here, Brother Timothy.
I'm going to go.